The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Hey, 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 happy Friday to you. That is Friday the 13th, it is. Voice America Sports, the leader in internet media, Planet Gridiron. And today, first of all, welcome to all our listeners. And in-house we have with us the UMass greats, I'm going to call them, the UMass great running backs. Both of them had the opportunity at least to play with us in the Valley with our Cardinals. And we want to welcome Marcel Shipp and Steve. Let me pronounce your name correct.
Baylark,
who is also gracing us with his presence. So welcome, fellas. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
All right. There's a lot that always happens to be going on at this time of the year. We had the ending of the Masters last weekend. I don't know about you guys. I root for Tiger, and I'm a little upset, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I am too, man. You know, Tiger lost his composure a little bit.
Yeah. Tiger lost his composure. No question about that. But let's say he is human. He's demonstrated he's been human several times over.
That's right.
Almost to a point that it cost him a fortune. But nonetheless, you know, we are all hopeful that our man will recover. And he is showing at least signs that he is returning to dominance with his winning at Bay Hill. Let's hope it's not an aberration, though.
That's right.
Let's see what else we finished up. Well, we finished up with basketball, and we see a lot of the high school, I guess, phenoms are now announcing. And we see that, I'm not really big. We're big football. Everybody knows that.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly.
All our listeners, be advised. This is a football-dominated show. But, again, we had Shabazz Muhammad, the kid out of Las Vegas. He signed, I don't know why, red flag went up for me. He's going to UCLA.
Oof.
And UCLA hadn't been too dominant. Of course, it is UCLA.
Exactly.
But that's Ben Holland. And the last person I can think of that was any good is maybe Aaron Aflalo and perhaps...
O'Bannon Brothers?
Yeah, exactly. You got to go back. And he wasn't even there when that was going on. You got to reach way back. That's way right. back to get that. But nonetheless, we'll see what's happening because my alma mater, however, University of Arizona, those Wildcats, I give them some love. They have been ranked as being number one in the Pac-12. So we're going to see. See if Sean Miller gonna raise a little hell.
All right,
little side note for you, Sean Miller. You all know the big dunk by George Lane. They show every year during March Madness. Pittsburgh tearing down the backboard. That point guard is Sean Miller, U of A's coach. Dish and then the dunk. So hey, I gave you one.
Appreciate that.
I gave y'all one, so maybe y'all can win a few ducats. But remember your boy if it comes to
right.
you. Hey, guys, I'm going to share with you. You know, I share it all our listeners know. I'm from the dirty. I'm from the dirty South. So, Steve, you from Florida, so you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So regardless of my heart, you know, playing at U of A, my heart is still in the South. I'm a huge SEC fan.
All right.
And I think we have the scandal of the ages going on right at Arkansas. So I want us to chime in. We touched on it briefly last week, but I guess the aftermath has come. And Bobby Petrino, although 21-5 over the last two seasons, was let go. So, Steve, I'm kicking to you, man. I'm going to put you on the spot. Let me get your thoughts on that.
There's so many going on out.
Oh, don't let it trip you up. Don't get tongue-tied.
I'll be careful with what you say now.
I mean, I don't even know how to touch upon that. It's just, I don't know. Like, it's other ways you can, you know, talk to a coach like that who has a record like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But to just, the things that goes on behind
closed doors,
you know, just some things you can sweep under the rug and some things you can't.
Yeah, I think you put them in a bad situation. Yeah. Shit, what you think on that?
Now, were the phone calls recorded?
I don't think it was that they were recorded. It's just the idea that you have a school issue or university phone, mm-hmm. and then you're able to determine, because nobody said what he texted. They were just saying seems like an inordinate number of texts seem to be going back and forth here between this young lady and this married man, father of four, 51 years of age.
Technology is
a mother, ain't it? It's a blessing and a pain.
That's right. I'm glad it came along when it did.
Exactly.
And I'm out the picture.
Exactly. And I got you all, so you know them late 80s, early 90s. Ain't nothing
exactly.
going on. You know, candidly, I think, and for all our callers, if you want to call in and join the conversation, again, we have Steve
Baylark
here with us, and also Marshall Shipp. You guys might remember former players with our homegrown and own Arizona Cardinals here. But hit us up at 888-346-9144. You know, I think that the conduct of Bobby Petrino, let's be honest, he's a man. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
We got three men sitting here.
That's right.
And unfortunately, we have shortcomings. Okay, no one would ever condone those behaviors. You know, I just celebrated my 15th anniversary yesterday.
Congratulations!
So thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, very, very.
All right.
You know, I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed.
That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah, she wouldn't have put up with me.
That's right. She blessed.
Exactly. You know, I try to do my thing. You know, the check always comes home. Okay, so she ain't never got to worry about that.
Exactly.
I come home, check come home.
That's right.
Now, other two, she may want the check, but no, bless me with three beautiful babies. So, you know,
that's
shout out to my wife. Stevie Lockhart, Stephanie, she goes by Stevie.
All right.
Again, she's 15 years, and let's pray for another 15.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
But that being said, who's to say in terms of, I never want to condemn anyone. I hate the idea of people that are judgmental, who cast stones and aspersions at other people. In light of the fact, again, we are all human. And let's touch on that whole Christian thing. None of us live in these glass houses here.
That's right. That's okay. Right.
So with what Bobby Petrino did, no one, I think, would condone that.
No doubt.
Okay. And at least public.
Yeah.
With that being said, you know, Steve, I'm kind of tending to lean toward you a little bit. I would have had a hard time finding a man who's 21-5. Okay. And this year's team is supposedly going to be better than the last two teams. And we know, anybody who knows anything about college football knows the dirty south of the SEC, how they feel about their football.
That's right.
It's religion.
That's
okay,
right.
So with that being said, though, Bobby Petrino put Jeff Long in a very tough situation. This is a guy, you know, who basically hired Petrino, took him away, you know, from Louisville, Atlanta, excuse me. He has some very high standards himself. He holds himself out there, and apparently he lives by what he preaches.
Mm-hmm.
And he, being Bobby Petrino, seems to have some character flaws. I'm just going to be honest.
True.
And if you go back and you look at the man's history, and I got him too. We're not here to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
true.
But we're saying you're dealing with an individual who, you know, was somewhat shady in how he came to the Louisville job.
Mm-hmm.
He had a meeting with Louisville, from my understanding, the AD and higher ups, and said, "Hey, I'm your guy. I'm not thinking about leaving." And by the way, he had already set the job going to the Falcons. Okay. And he had to be forced by the administration to go back into Louisville to his staff,
mm-hmm,
and his players to say, "You know, I took this job. Sorry, I'm out."
Yeah.
Now, everybody does generally what's best for the family. I certainly am going to put my family
first.
If I have an opportunity to put them in a better financial situation, and another economic opportunity comes up, so be it.
That's right.
You know, no loyalty when it comes to that. I got to take care of the family.
That's right. You have to.
But it's the manner in which we address certain issues.
Exactly.
And I don't like the way he leaves. Okay.
Yeah.
And he continued to perpetuate this type of conduct when he went to the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
He had a rough season. It was his first year, 13 games into the season.
Mm-hmm.
You got Arthur Blank, the owner. You sit down, you have dinner with him. You look him in the eye. I'm your man. I'm your boy.
Exactly.
I signed my 3-year contract. I'm going to be here with you. We see on the news that Arkansas go pig suey. He had already set the job when he was saying this.
That's right.
And then the most distasteful and disrespectful manner in terms of addressing his team that has made, you know, not only a commitment to him,
via
financial.
That's
now,
right.
Okay. I'm going to leave you just a little correspondence sitting on your seat that's outside, you know, your locker when you come in. Gentlemen, you all have played at the highest level. Shipp, I'm going to start with you. How would you have felt to have been treated in that manner?
Man, I would have felt betrayed, man. You know, I feel like he took a new position, and the first thing he was doing was looking for the quickest way out the back door. And that's what he did, man. You know, he got in and got out. And, you know, it's hard to respect someone like that, you know, because when times are rough, you know, you're supposed to stick together. And when they come around, and, you know, we did it together.
Yeah.
But that man looked for the back door, the quickest way out. And he's like, listen, I'm on to the bigger and better things, basically.
As we have one guy who joins us, you hopefully he'll get in before the show's over, Jay Graves. Holla at your boy, as what he always says. Steve, can you hit us up? How your thoughts on, you know, that situation? Imagine you being put in that situation where you're a player, you made a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're glad you made the team. He selected you to make the team, but aren't we in it together? Thoughts on that?
I mean, so many. It's just heartbreaking in a way, man. Just to have God a guy like that just to probably come in and tell you so many things that he's going to promise you this, promise you that, and all of a sudden, you know what? I'm on to the next.
Yeah.
So that's
kind of hard to digest.
That's hard to swallow, man. that's a tough thing right there, man. I don't even know how to. I wouldn't know how to take it, though.
Exactly. I think it was
a lot of threats and texts and stuff. So. Technology. See,
he grew up in technology. If you reflect on it, look back at it, it just, you know, I don't even know how to respond to that. You all, again, have played the highest level. I certainly have not, you know, attained that out of college. But you even see it now spilling over even more so with these college coaches, albeit. Sun Devil coach here, Ty Graham. You know, everywhere he goes, this is my dream job, and we're in it together. And you know, I never could think I'd ever have the opportunity. And man, been what, at 5 teams in 6 years, something like that.
To the next dream, the next night.
The next dream, right? The next nightmare.
That's right.
And I guess this is a way we sever ties.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, NFL's a business. You
That's
can
right.
sign the contract,
cutthroat.
And then, you know, hey, that contract really is not worth the paper it's written on.
Exactly.
And gentlemen, I know you all know
that's
that.
That's right.
You would think that one inks and makes a commitment. That's it. You have to adhere to that commitment. But the NFL mirrors, in my mind, real life. And
that's right.
It's unfortunate as it is. When it no longer becomes financial beneficial to an organization to
That's
keep
right.
a talent. They don't care about the commitment they made with respect to a contract.
Uh-uh.
It's on
Not
to the next
all.
One.
Not at all.
So, gentlemen, I'm going to kick it to you all again. This whole idea of loyalty. Let's talk about that, especially on the professional level.
That does not exist.
Ship, let's talk about how that loyalty.
Man, that loyalty does not exist, man.
In the business?
Not at all. It's business. This is never personal. It's always business. But, you know, the loyalty, you know, when you talk to a team, you know, they're going to tell you everything you want to hear. Even when you're a free agent, you're shopping teams, and we're going to be committed to you. We'll give you 8 years. $300 million. It doesn't matter. You're not going to reach that 8 years.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
So the first 3 years, that's all you can really count on. You know, working in those first 3 years. And after that, you better watch your back because that chopping block is coming with your neck on it.
Steve, your experiences, please share with us.
Man, I think the loyalty comes from is with the teammates themselves. You know, they're the ones who believe in each other and most of the time, you know, and with the whole business world, it's just, you just don't know what next. You got Reaper Man coming around, and you never know. You'd be out there one day and gone the next, you know. So
say your shekels. You say and watch your back too.
Watch your back.
Hey guys, as I explained to you, Jay Graves, one gentleman who joins us. He is a relative
That's
of
right.
Ron Graves.
That's right.
I don't know if you guys know that.
I know that.
Hey, bring him on in. Jay, you with us, my man?
I'm here, man. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, man. So glad you can join us, giving us that Midwest flavor from the that nap town. Hey, man, in-house, man. Roland could not make it with us, so I'm trying to kind of carry the mail here. But helping me is I got two former Cardinals with us here, Marcel Shipp and Steve
Baylart.
So they're giving us.
Jay, what's going on, man?
I'm chilling, Steve. You all right?
I'm good, man. How you?
I'm good, man.
All right.
Hey, man, I haven't gotten to the article yet, but I got 2 minutes to break, but you got to give me a little taste of what you're talking about, because that flavor from the title suggests you believe that the NBA players should receive a little cheddar for their time with the Olympics.
What's blowing me away, fellas, and I know y'all going to feel me on this. You can't ask a man that makes a living playing basketball to play basketball for free for 2 months.
Jay, though, man, what about the love of country, man? The love of the sport.
The love of who?
The love of country went out the window when they fired charges for air.
Yeah.
what's killing me? Everybody telling me he ought to be proud to be able to do this, etc. And the other athletes aren't getting paid. But you got to remember is this: guys like Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt and all them, those guys got paid as a result of the Olympics.
Correct.
Right.
Agreed.
Yes. That's right.
People watch the Olympics every 4 years, and they see these guys. So if they get off, they get endorsement deals as a result.
Right.
So somebody like Dwayne Wade and LeBron, all these guys that's already making $40, $50 million a year on endorsements and salary, they don't need to play, you know, because now you're asking this guy to play for free and then everybody else is getting paid as a result of them being on the floor.
Hey, Jay, hold on to that thought, man. We got to go to break. But, hey, keep it primed and ready. Keep it coming. Hold tight with it, baby.
Your internet flagship station for sports. Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works.
I'm
bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
This week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav, brought to you by Whitetails Extreme.
Tim Brandt with Federal Ammunition talks about new turkey loads. Mike Turbyville tells us of taking an Osceola this spring. Doug Little gives us tips and tactics, and Bob Humphreys talks about perfect turkey habitat when we discuss hunting thunder chickens in the spring. All brought to you by Ram Trucks at RamTrucks.com. Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. I'm Jim Ferguson. I'll see you on the trail.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
And we're back, Voice America Sports, Planet Gridiron, the leader in internet medium. Hey, before we went to break, again, to our listeners out there, we had Jay Graves from Naptown and also with Dre Graves from the...
JGraysReport.com. Holla at your boy.
Joining us from Naptown. Yeah, again, hit us up, 888-346-9144. Hey, Jay, before we went on break, man, we were giving much love to that article you were shouting out about, you know, these NBA players wanting to receive a little bit of cheddar, and you seem like to be right on board with them, man. Go ahead and finish up and elaborate on that.
You know, the name of the article is You Gotta Pay to Play. It's one of those situations where, you know, you asking a guy to go out and risk injury, stay away from his family the whole summer. You parade the guy all around the world all summer long and have what they call exhibition games that cost money to get into.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you charging to get in the game, somebody, and you charging for jerseys, you selling all kind of paraphernalia, you know, the Olympic, U.S. Olympic Committee making money, all the venues around the world that's hosting the games are making money. How you gonna tell a man he needs to play for free? Cause it's pride and country.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious the other people have compromised this idealistic idea of it just being, you know, playing for the country.
Mm. Right. I mean, and it's all, but you know, when you start talking about, you know, cats that's coming up making, I mean, they only have, and these guys on the panel today will be able to tell you, when you're a professional athlete, you got a short window of time, an opportunity to make your money.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you got to make all the money you can make during that short period of time so you don't have to go out after you finish playing and get a job, et cetera.
Right.
And what's blowing me away is everybody's, you know, now saying, well, Dwayne Wade is pulling back off of his stance. He's apologetic. Right. Now, he never pulled back. He just said, I'm going to play, but I would rather get paid.
Exactly. Exactly.
Sure.
And let's be honest.
Sure,
yeah, right. I mean, and obviously, his financial situation, at least at this point, is very different from most individuals that play in the NBA, albeit they do make a great deal of money. So it's not about need. It's not about that. It's just in balance and fairness to all the participants here
True.
That one should be paid for, you know, they're what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, gentlemen, I'm gonna kick some over to you guys because I mean, talk about it.
You know,
playing in the NFL and sports, and then having to move on beyond that, and still having to take care of oneself. So,
well, I feel like whenever you put yourself at risk of injury, you should be paid for it.
Yeah.
If this is what you do, like you're a basketball player, if you get hurt over there overseas, you blow out your knee, you can't play again. Guess what? You're done.
Exactly.
The window's closed. The door's locked. No one knows you. No one cares anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So for them not to get paid is like ridiculous because everyone else is getting paid and it's like a slap in the face. You know, you're going to go play basketball. You're going to represent this country and you're going to do it for free because you love the country. Now, this is a country that almost had a lockout with the NBA. They didn't even want to pay them. NBA players almost had to go overseas just to get paid.
And San Diego.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, you have to look at those things, man. So I think, you know, them not getting paid is just a slap in the face, basically.
And Steve, your thoughts on that issue?
I just think you should get paid for what you love doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you, like he said, like Ship said before, you know, you're sacrificing, you over there doing what you got to do to give the people the show and do what you do back over here in the States. Why not, you know, get paid to keep showing what you're doing and, you know, playing in the Olympics. So
let's be honest, you know, I think the world of what of Jerry Colangelo in terms of what he was able to achieve as a person and how he's ascended to, you know, I guess executive operator of USA Basketball, whatever the title is, okay? But, I mean, he too benefits from the Olympics.
He benefits financially.
And I'm not upset with him because of that. Nobody is.
Hold
all
on.
We're saying is just share the wealth.
That's
right. Isn't that right, Jack?
Exactly. That's right.
And let's keep this real. You know, boys always say, well, he don't need the money. Well, we passed the point of need in this country a long time ago.
That's right.
I can take you to 9 Project Homes right now, and a boy going to answer the door with a Joe, some Jordans on and an iPhone.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
So even in the Project, boys is living above their means, so it don't have nothing to do with whether if the guy's already rich, he don't need any more money. You know, you can't ask Ford Motor Company to give away all their cars for the next 2 months to all the dealerships, and then the dealership turn around and make $1 billion and tell it Ford Motor Company,
you don't need the money.
No, that's right.
I'm in agreement with that, man.
I agree.
I always refer to my dad, man. He was such a wise guy, and I respect how wise he is now that he's no longer with me. And, you know, he's like, you know, you want all the money and then some, too. That over there in the corner, go ahead and get that, too. Because.
That's right.
Now, in balance to that, not all money is good money. Okay.
Right.
But that's another conversation. Yeah. What we're speaking about right here is that money in the corner.
Yeah. Okay? That's right. Yeah, that's that good money.
That good money.
That's that sprinkle on the cake.
Exactly.
Right there.
And you know what? You're right. Nobody's going to Bill Gates saying, hey, you don't need that extra $100 million that you got, $100 billion you got coming. Or whatever. Nobody is saying
that
to him.
That's right.
So
the Bill's taking all of that.
Exactly. And then
and then some.
Okay. Because one thing about it is a finite resource that will run out if not managed properly.
True.
Period.
That's true.
This is not an endless, bottomless pit. And we hear the horror stories. You know, another one joining the ranks of the broken, if you will, would be Warren Sapp in his situation.
Fine.
Okay.
Fine.
So.
Fine.
How much is enough? Because even now he's making, I believe they said $40,000 a week or whatever, which is a, you know, we would all kill for that kind of amounts of money, okay? But his debts exceed what he makes. And that's part of his wrong. It's his own doing, no question. But it just stands to support the argument that money does run out.
That's right.
It is a finite resource.
That's right. It needs to be that lifestyle.
Exactly. It needs to be respected.
Exactly. There's no unemployment law for professional athletes.
No, it's not. Ain't nobody write no check for that.
That's right.
Okay. You know, Jay, kind of building on what you were saying about these other Olympic athletes, you know, the Michael Phelps, the Usain Bolts, you're right. They ascend to wealth. They ascend to acclaim based on the performance at the Olympics.
At the Olympics. That's right.
Right.
And could you be honest, Michael Phelps been swimming for a long time.
Most of us,
the average sports fan, had never heard of Michael Phelps until 2008.
Yeah, most people, right.
And so as a result of that, Wheaties came knocking on the door, Speedos, et cetera, and now he's making money, and he'll be able to cash in again after this summer.
Yeah.
But it's one of those where if you got a guy that's already got money and got endorsements and all those things working for him, now you asking him to risk all of that to come over here and play in the long run.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and let's be honest with other countries as well. You know, they talk about the communist countries or whatever, but in China, granted, I would never want to live in China. But success at the Olympics for a Chinese athlete, oh, it's on. Yeah. Oh. It's on, okay? All right. You see, communism doesn't mean much to that person that wins a gold medal that is a Chinese athlete.
They taking care of
for life, okay? Yeah. We don't have that in America.
That's
okay?
Right.
We tend to take care of our own situations.
Exactly.
There was a time, you know, I think back, you know, my mother and father were both able to retire before the age of 60. Very blessed, okay? Mm-hmm. But that came from the fact that my father worked for Delta for 20 years. They used to have pension plans. Hell, I'm my pension plan. I get up in the morning and I look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, hey, bro, you know? I made more than my blessed with that combined. I've been blessed enough to make more than my parents ever could have made. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you this much. I'll be 42 this year. That means 15 years, I'll be 57. That's when my parents retire. I guarantee you I won't be retired at 57.
I hear that. I
guarantee you that.
I hear that.
So, Jay, tell me, man, what else is going on, though, man? Just spew a little knowledge on what's up, dude.
Hey man, look, what I'm just continuously blown away by the fact that the Miami Heat are head case right now. and why is it that LeBron James keeps putting the kick me please sign on his back? Just keep it real. I wrote an article last week where I talked about, you know, LeBron is paying tolls. He the kid that get on the bus, get his gym shoes taken every day because he won't fight for himself.
Yeah.
How in the world do you let a guy tackle you in mid-air and then you don't turn around and beat the crap out of him and get suspended for the next couple of games?
Okay. You talking about the Westbrook play.
Because here's the deal. It was bad enough that LeBron was allowing the fans to just beat him up and wouldn't back anybody off of him. I can understand that. Mm-hmm. But when you got players on other teams knowing that you're not going to defend yourself or bad boys up on for you, not everybody kicking you in the pants every chance they get.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Best player on the planet.
Exactly.
But you allowing guys to punk you on the floor. I mean, if that would have been Shaq, Kobe. Jordan, anybody you could think of, the guy would have tackled him in mid-air, it would have been the pitchers for the clear.
That's right.
Yeah, now, I do believe you have to stand your ground, and as great a player as he is, that dude is so physically big, imposing, and strong. I don't really think anybody really want to stand toe-to-toe with him. Okay?
they do it inside the lines and get away with it.
Yeah.
They don't have to meet him in the parking lot.
But if he,
because here's the deal. He could have handled all that. Because you got to handle that business before the playoffs. Because now you're going to go into the playoffs, and that kind of stuff is going to be going on.
And you can't do it then, but you can't get mad then.
What he should have done, fellas, he should have had Russell Westbrook sitting at the post game with one eye looking like a bobblehead.
Wow.
And then he would have been, it's all right. Now everybody in the league is going to know.
Now they know.
That's right. That's right.
He should have pulled the Bernie Mac and called it busted over to the white meat. You got to peel that wig back for him.
That's right.
Hey, my dad used to say that all the time. Hey, you ain't got to win the fight. They just got to know you will fight. That's what he always say. Right. You know?
That's how it is. Where I grew up, you ain't got to win the fight. You just got to throw the first punch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Because if you throw the first punch, everybody standing around got respect for you, so they're going to break it up anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ooh, he said it all.
Exactly. See, now, the bully wants the one that he can bully.
Yeah.
And, I still didn't grow. I'm 5'7" to this day. I've been that since probably sixth grade. So, but hey, everybody knew. You can come get some now.
That's right. That's right.
Buckle move. Exactly. You know, I got the big smile and I got the part in the hair. But hey, even when I was looking like Gary Coleman, they knew they could come get some.
That's right.
And they still can't let this suit fool you.
Oh, yeah. And it's still like that now. Hey, Carlton now. I graduated from Coleman to Carlton. And I tell you what, you don't want no part of this Carlton if it comes off.
And that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Right. Because the rule is, you know, the bully don't want to fight. The bully just want to bully.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You want the easy way out.
Hey, man, we got to go to that second break. JK, you stay around with us, man?
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, man, continue to bless us. Folks, stay with us here at Planet Gridiron, Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works. Bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steel, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steel Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
And we're back with that third segment of Planet Gridiron, Voice America Sports, your leader in internet media. Again, we have by phone Mr. Jay Graves from the jgravesreports.com, and blessing us in-house, we have Steve Baylor, and we have Mr. Shipp, both UMass great running backs who had the opportunity to grace us and please us with their performance with the Cardinals. Gentlemen, on break, we were briefly starting to move into, after all, folks, football show. Got the draft coming up. The ascension of Mr. Ryan Tannehill is just beyond me. I will use the word befuddled because I am not understanding this at all. And I consider myself an individual who I love the game. Okay, yep. I do. I love following college. I can tell you where folks went to high school. Okay, yep. That's how much I'm into this. And, you know, I was an agent for a short period of time. In fact, that's what motivated me to go to law school, is I thought I wanted to be an agent with, you know, the NFL. And then I watch college football, mm-hmm. a lot of it, as much as I watch pro. Probably college I watch more. But this Ryan Tannehill ascension and all of this supposed moxie, I just don't see it. So is it me, or am I going to believe my lying eyes? I mean, what is it, Shipp?
No, I don't get it either. You know, I came on the show hoping that someone can explain that to me. Because, you know, every time I cut ESPN on, that's all they're talking about, this guy moving up in the draft. And I'm just like, I don't get it. So I was hoping, Jay, I know you got some wisdom for me today. Yeah. Please help me out. Please get me on the right page.
Jay, I'm kicking to you, bro. I mean, Ryan Tannehill, he's the quarterback, obviously, out of Texas A&M, who played under Sherman, who now is the offensive coordinator, my understanding, for the Dolphins. You know, you have any thoughts with respect to this guy's ascension, and now he's the second coming?
Well, you know what? I watch a lot of Big 12 football. Obviously, I followed Oklahoma Sooners quite a bit. And so I've seen the kid play, and like you said, he's a decent athlete, especially when he played wide receiver.
Right.
It's nothing. You know what? Sometimes when the draft comes up, I think that a lot of these guys that handle these draft boards and do all these reviews, I think they're just looking for the next hype. They're looking for somebody to just put in a position to say, hey, this is the next guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, what was that kid's name from Blaine Gabbert? Last year, everybody was talking about him from Missouri. I got to interrupt you with two words.
Boo D. He's horrible.
You remember the hype?
And I was saying the same thing, Jay. Go ahead. Go ahead. No.
I was like, what are they seeing? Because I've seen the kid play 3 or 4 times, and he was booty.
Exactly. Right. I saw the guy, too. And, you know, everybody wants to talk about, well, he did lack receivers and all of this. Hey, name any of the receivers that ended up in the first round that played with Cam Newton. Crickets. Right. None. None. Okay? Exactly. Matter of fact, his top receiver who left early, number 80, I want to say his name is Blake, didn't even get drafted.
Blake, that's right. Okay. Jeff Blake's son.
So, okay, so talk to me. Someone please talk to me. I'm kind of like you. I looked at Tannehill. Every big game I watched him play in terms of being in the clutch, doesn't read defense as well, didn't make the plays when he needed. So if you want to talk about the moxie, everybody wants to go intangibles. And mind you, intangibles are complements to skill. Nobody wins with just flat out intangibles. Okay, not at that level. You can do it in college, but you're not winning in the NFL with, if you're saying my intangibles supersede my ability to play football.
Exactly.
You're not going to win.
I agree, man. Definitely
agree. So, I mean, you know, the Ryan Tannehill situation, we're seeing him ascend up to potentially the 4th pick, where I think Cleveland should actually take Trent Richardson, in my
opinion.
Okay. I mean, Jay, I can't justify that. Please try to help me, or are you like me, befuddled?
I'm just as confused as you are when it comes to that situation. I mean, what can you say, bro? You and I both see draft bust written on top of the table now.
Right.
Yep.
And you know what? I would be the first to admit I did not see Cam Newton coming like this. I didn't see him coming like this, but I did say he could play at the next level.
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't think it was going to be this.
I did, man. My goodness for him was just.
Okay. Whew. And I would certainly, you know, defer to individuals like yourself in terms of looking at how he would project on the next level.
Yeah.
And I thought the difference, I thought it was no difference from the standpoint of we had a superior athlete at the collegiate level. Who played in an offense that would be considered unconventional for the NFL. But this young man stepped right into a professional offense. Yes, they tailored it down some, but they expanded as the season progressed.
You got to prove him wrong.
And he acclimated quickly.
Yep.
He had the moxie. But let's put that aside. The man can play. He has talent to play at the next level.
Superman.
Shim over here opening up the shirt.
Superman all day.
You know, and I don't, and I think, like Jay was saying, a lot of people are trying to find that next kind of lightning in the bottle. And I think you overthink the situation. You do. Because, yeah, you can put on, you can see a guy run a fast 40.
Yep,
yeah, exactly. You can see a guy you know who can come out of a break quick. Yeah, you can see a guy run through some cones. Okay. Guys. And all that look good.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
And a lot of those guys can do that at that, let's say, that higher level, if you will. But I'm looking at two young men who had the opportunity.
So no bullets fly.
Exactly. They made it to the NFL.
Right. Lights come on.
Exactly.
Whole different game. Shorts don't mean nothing. I've seen a lot of guys look good in shorts. Yeah. When bullets come out.
T-shirt All-American is what I call
it. That's right.
T-shirt All-American.
Oh, yeah. Bullets fly, they ducking.
That's all. The combine to me, I enjoy it. I really do. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's T-shirt Olympics.
It is, man. It was the worst weekend of my life when I was there. it's a meat market. You know, you're up there, you're standing there, you're posing, they're taking pictures of you from the front, turn around from the back. And I understand it's the big investment that these organizations are making. But at the same time, you walk on the stage with your shirt off, and it's real degrading to me, man. It was a bad weekend for me.
You know, and going back to the quarterback situation, Jay, you said, or you indicated that, you know, you follow the Big 12, and I know you do because you're a big Boomer Sooner fan. But we were just speaking, man, why not Brandon Wheaton? I mean, is it really that much difference?
Huh.
And I don't see Wheaton either as a first rounder, but I see him as a higher, more prepared pick than, Tannehill.
Yes.
Jay?
Yeah. I mean, Tannehill, in my opinion, I figured he was going to be a third round, fourth round pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You're exactly right. I mean, it makes no sense, but somebody's going to put the money on the table and be mad about it.
And they lose their job over it.
Exactly. You know, and I have a lot of respect for Charlie Casserly. You know, even more so when I look back and I thought about his pick, because I ain't gonna lie, I was a Reggie Bush. Oh my God, I can't believe that. You know, they're not taking Reggie Bush. And man, he was. Hey man, I rolled snake eyes because he went with Mario Williams, and I'm not saying Mario Williams couldn't play. I mean, obviously he could and can, but I was thinking to myself, no way. And then. We have, boom, he blows up, you know, and he goes off. And Mario Williams made a couple of Pro Bowls.
Oh, yeah.
Very dominant. Now he's demonstrated now, not only can he put his hand in the ground, this year he can stand up.
That's right, yeah.
And get it done. And big boy can get it done. Okay.
That's right.
And then, and Reggie Bush has had a great year. But when I look at him, and what I'm getting at is I listened to him talk about Tannehill, and he was like, in this era, yeah, I like him more than I like Ponder. Who went, you know, early last year. But this is a little bit too rich in my blood for, you know, to go ahead and start picking this man that high in the draft when he has so many flaws and he's not clearly ready yet. Because, see, when you start suggesting first round, that means you got to play now.
That's right.
Now, granted, it's more digestible, the contracts, because of the new rookie cap. I understand that. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, $20 million, that's a lot of money, all right? And Cam Newton's going to earn all of that $20 million.
Yeah, he's getting all that.
But that's different than, saying, $50 million, which has been guaranteed to Bradford.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So, I mean, perhaps, you know, Jay, maybe that's why we got these people overreaching, overanalyzing. I just, your thoughts on that?
I mean, where you want me to go? I mean, granted, you know, guys make a living to make these kind of calls, but you got a lot of guys make a living that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, no, they do.
I mean, let's just keep it real. I mean, you ever been on the job or and said, man, how did this guy get the promotion?
how did this guy
get that job? You know what I mean?
Yep. We all been there.
That's right. That's right.
And you see it all the time. And you know, I did an article called The Firm a few weeks ago where I said that, you know, players don't win titles, organizations do.
Okay.
Because the organization has to be smart enough to be able to make the right moves with the right players at the right time with the right coaches. All things have to be put together. You know, I keep telling boys all the time that always ride, you know, LeBron James for being in the league for his first 7 years and not winning, or 8 years. I'm like, he was with the worst organization in the league.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't win when you know, there's a reason why the Celtics and the Lakers have won more than 50% of all
championships
in the league.
Right.
Because they have the right organizational structure to make the moves that they need to do. And it's the same thing in football.
Yeah.
You know, when you start looking at the winning organizations, you start seeing why they win, because they make the moves that they need to be made.
Right. They make the hard decisions. They're able to galvanize and put teams together. They can handle the personalities. They can handle all these little people quirks.
That's
and they're able to massage it, man, make a nice pot of gumbo when it's all done.
That's right. Because
keep it real. You can have the same ingredients. You and I could go to the grocery store, buy the same stuff.
Right.
But if I don't know what to do with it, it's going to just taste like a whole bunch of ingredients.
Right.
That's right.
A perfect example of that is real cooking. My brother, man, we own a little family, little joint back in the dirty. And, oh, he told me what's in it, but damn, it don't taste like that when I'm done. I did what he told me to do now. So, it is definitely some truth to what you're saying there, and it seems that these organizations that can't do that, a la Orlando Magic, have the issues that they have, because they got enough talent. Okay, and in this era of NBA basketball, granted I'm not an aficionado, but you don't need a whole roster to win. You only need about 2-3 of these players to do this, to get it done. And now it helps to have a deep bench, but ain't nobody really talking about no deep bench when the Bulls were kicking all that ass. They had the Jordan ass, but that wasn't but 2 or 3 of them. You know,
right?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So what I always tell boys is this. I say, don't think for 1 minute that Michael Jordan, as great as he was, because I grew up in GI, I was 15 minutes from the United Center, and don't think for 1 minute Michael Jordan would have won 6 championships if he was playing in Atlanta.
That's right.
Right. No, you're right. No, true that. Right. True. And that hurt my heart. You threw a low blow on the whole time.
All the Nets would have drafted him before they draft Sam Bowie. And I'm from Jersey.
Hey, guys. Hey, man, hold that thought right quick. We got one more break, and then we're going to bring it back and finish it off, man. Planet Gridiron with your boys. Holla at us.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works. I'm bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And we're back. Voice America Sports, Planet Gridiron. Dave Lockhart here with you. Also gracing us in-house, Marcel Shipp and Steve
Baylark.
We got those former RBs, UMass Dirties. Making it to them Cardinals and also giving us that Midwest swing, that flavor. Mr. Dre Graves from the J. Graves.
JGravesReport.com. Holler at your boy.
And we hollering. We hollering. Hey, folks, thanks. We joining in going into that last segment. Hey, I'm checking the internet. I just found out that the owner of the Saints also purchased the Hornets today, looks like. Finalized that deal. Yeah, so Vincent. Hey, let's talk about that. Speaking about those Saints, can they keep it real dirty? Gentlemen, we got two people who have lived in a locker room, I'm sure, who have attended meetings Saturday before the game as they implement the game plan. Your thoughts on Mr. Greg Williams and what he had to say. Steve, I'm going to kick it to you first, sir. You got a look on your face that I wished all the audience could see, but go ahead.
I don't even know how to touch on that. I don't know. You got to come back with me on that.
Okay, I'll let you gather your thoughts on that. Share some love with me on that.
You know what I like what the commissioner did? You know, he took what he did to Sean Payne, all the penalties that he implemented on these coaches for this bounty hunt thing, I think it was a great move. You know what I'm saying? Because he comes down on the players very hard.
Yes, he does.
And, you know, we appeal things and things that we don't think is fair, but he comes down on us hard. For him to do that to the coach, it says a lot. You know, at first, you know, I had my mixed feelings about Goodell, you know, all that stuff. Okay. But what he did to those coaches, I loved it. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not playing anymore, but, you know, as a fan now, you know, I sit back and I love it because, you know what? If he says, basically, I don't care who you are, player, coach, GM, whatever. If you break the rules, you're going to pay for it. So, yeah. I mean, that speaks a lot for him to do that.
Man. Steve, I'm going to go back to you now. Yeah. You got your thoughts together, sir?
Yeah, I got them together. I mean, I'm playing both sides of it. You know, it's good that or makes sense that he, you know, disciplined him, you know, the coaches and, you know, the people that was involved. But at the same time, I mean, the coaches give guys motivation when they say things out there to make us do the things that we do on the field. So a lot of time, you know, they talking money. We've been talking about money this whole time, right?
Right.
Today. So a lot of time you talk about money, some guys
take it to the next level,
you know. So,
By any means.
you know, my thought on this, I've shared this with this before. Were the penalties too harsh? They may have been, okay? I like Roger Goodell. I think what Roger Goodell is trying to do for the NFL is good. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that. There has to be a stern discipline at the top, okay? Now, I might not always agree with the fact that the person that gets to hear the appeal is the same person who implemented the punishment.
Exactly.
Okay, I do believe in divisions of power.
Definitely.
I mean, in the
Definitely.
Government, we have the legislature, judicial, and certain branches handle certain things, okay? He is basically a dictator when it comes to that.
That's
okay?
right.
But I don't think he's necessarily unfair or he misuses or abuses. He is punitive across the board. And what seems to be very important to him is protecting the shield. And I understand why now. You know, and I think you all would have an appreciation for that more so. But what I'm more curious to know from someone who's played in the NFL is, let's kind of set aside the punishment. Being in a meeting and preparing for a game and being motivated by the coach, in your opinions, I'm going to start with you, Steve.
Yeah.
Did Coach Greg Williams cross the line? Hey, it's free. Hey, get in where you fit in. You can say whatever you want on this one.
I only can go off what I experienced and stuff from, you know, meetings and talk mostly with the special team coaches and stuff.
Okay.
Like they really want you to make the big plays and do the thing to change the game and stuff like that. But I've never been, you know, I never had a coach tell me individually take this guy out, you know,
make it
that person. I never played a game to be personal like that. I'm playing for my team. I'm playing the game because I love it, but never to. You know what I'm saying? Pick and choose hit lists and stuff like that. So, nah. I can't hear.
Did you?
Hey, you know what, fellas? When I listened to the tape, you know, I got something completely different in the sense that, you know, I didn't play in the NFL. Heck, I was just a walk on at Purdue. All right, but in the locker room, when the guy's talking, a lot of what he was saying could have been taken metaphorically. And my thought is, you know, you always hear about the soldier and the war metaphor.
Sure, that's right.
The taking the head metaphor. You hear all that and you never take any of that literally. Yeah. Now, granted, they had a whole situation going on, but when I listen to it, I'm like, I've heard that speech before.
Exactly. Okay.
I've heard that speech at home.
That's right.
No, I'm going to put some context, and I'd like to let Marcel definitely have some, share some thoughts on this issue. I did not have a problem with take the head, kill the body, the snake, all that kind of metaphorical.
Yeah, metaphorically, it made sense.
It made sense to me, okay? I've always been told to play hard, play through the whistle, hit hard. I've always been taught that. My kids, man, you know, I love sharing the fact that every morning, 5:30, I cook breakfast for my children. Everybody gets warm, hot breakfasts. Okay, I have two daughters and a son, ages 12 to 6. My youngest is my son; he's 6, and we have candid conversations. And Jay tells me about the conversation he has with his children about competition. You're competing. Okay, everything is competing. You always are at your best. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's tiddlywinks to you lining up and you trying to smash everybody in your heat in that track meet. Mm-hmm. To my daughter. To my son, he's 6. Flag football, you breaking them down to the brake pads. You getting it done. Okay, my daughter, she dances. I'm there with you. You know, granted, I love the sports thing, but we all support one another.
Hold up.
Okay, and you give it your all. All right. Now, within the context of that, you never harm or maim or injure an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that I think there's a certain level of respect, a certain level of humanity you still have to carry into essentially as closest thing to war as you get NFL football.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Right.
I'm a criminal defense attorney.
That's right.
Okay, and what you all do on each play, do that outside that, and you're going to be contacting me for representation, okay? Because every time now, that's a criminal offense. I think he did cross the line when he began to specifically identify certain players.
Yeah, that's right.
And when he began to say things like, take a ACL out, the left knee, Let's see if we can bend an individual over and hurt the ankles and all of that. You know,
way out of line with that.
Purposefully targeting the head, affect the head. I'm a little uncomfortable with that.
Exactly.
Now, unlike Sap, I ain't gonna lie to you. I wouldn't have got up and said, "This is outrageous."
That's right.
Hell, this is my job. I'm getting paid.
That's right.
All right. And I want to be on that roster, not next year, next game,
because
you know, it's just that fluid and that cutthroat in that NFL. But I honestly believe that I never would have, and I didn't, purposefully go out to injure or harm someone.
Mm-hmm.
And within the context of the NFL, you are feeding families, preparing for retirements.
Exactly.
You know, there's life beyond this.
That's right.
And just the respect for the human being across from me would not have allowed me maybe to execute literally what he was saying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's all I'm saying, because I agree, Jay. I've heard that kind of stuff before. But, Marshall, I certainly would like to hear you comment on that.
You know, as a player, you know, when the coach speaks, you know, you listen. You know, I like to say, like, we're kind of brainwashed, you know. And when that coach is speaking up there, and we take it to, like, okay, I know when I'm playing against the linebacker, I said, yo, I'm going to hit him so hard, he's going to feel it next week. I'm going to hit him before this week. And, you know, and we do things like that, you know what I mean? But we never, like, intentionally, like, go out. That linebacker's going to blitz. I'm going to take his knee out. I'm into his season. Like, we don't think like that, you know what I'm saying? But we are motivated to make the big play, make the big hit. You know, that's what we get paid for.
Right.
That's what the fans want to see. The coaches want to see it. The owners want to see that. But when you take it to the level of, okay, take the AC out, concuss this guy. You know, those things are going too far. But as a player, no one's going to stand up like, no, we can't do that, coach. You know, no one's going to say that. So, you know what I mean? It's not going to happen because your team, because, you know, even though it's the right things, the right thing to say.
It's the mob mentality.
Your teammates going to look at you like, what? You not in on this?
Right.
So, you know, it's like I said, it's like a brainwash mentality that, you know, football, like we have. You know, we're taught to play with pain. We're taught to go out there and just do whatever it is, you know, to perform.
You got
to
win.
And that's
the bottom line is winning.
And that's our job.
So. And I think we all can appreciate and agree, look, our chances of winning are greatly increased if Barry Sanders is sitting there icing her ankle. Everybody got to stand
up. Everybody
got to stand up. But I don't know if really that on each play you got people out there, you know, foaming at the mouth saying, let's end a career. You know, even if you felt like that, Derek, you can't say that.
Keep that to yourself.
Yeah, I mean, because you get ready to be the next Lawrence Phillips. Somebody
that's
like
right.
that, you know. I just think that, again, there's a certain level of respect. I think they did cross the line, in
my
opinion.
Oh,
I think it was deserving of punishment. But I'm still waffling back and forth because I'm leaning toward maybe, that being appropriate, the extent of the punishment. No. But then again, there's some time where I'm like, you know, indefinite suspension?
You know what? Unfortunately, when you're trying to protect the shield, let's take football off of it for a minute and look at it from a business perspective. When you open yourself up to X number of lawsuits, et cetera, when you're trying to protect the shield, he's got to do something that will deter everybody else from
That's
doing
right.
the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, you need you have it here. You have a perpetual source of bodies, if you will. But my mama, and I ain't gonna let my little boy go out there either. If everybody out there talking about blowing ACLs out and peeling weeds to the white meat show.
That's right.
Hey, folks, we gotta shut it down. It's been real. Happy Friday the 13th. You all be safe and join us next week. Planet Gridiron with your boy, Dave Lockhart. Jay Graves, give me a shout out from that Midwest.
Hey, you guys can check out the blog, thejgravesreport.com. Holla at your boy.
And thank you so very much for gracing us. Former Cardinals, always in our hearts, Marcel Shipp and Steve
Ballard.
Do it again, gentlemen. Y'all have a good one now.